Well, good morning, everyone. Roger sent Diane a message. Said, I'm not going to be here this morning because Carol has COVID. So I didn't give any more detail, just that she's going to be, I think he's going to be here. Yeah, he's going to handle next week. I got to be gone for 2 weeks, and he's going to take care of that. Anyway, just a quick word. I spent a whole afternoon with David Young. He's the one that takes care of the website and getting all the things on. He takes care of putting things on there and recording. That's why we're recording those. We got some requests to record the Sabbath school lessons, and so we're doing that. And so if you want to, you can go online and get the you can listen to the quarterly if you want to. That we have everything that we've done in Knowing God's Ministries, and anyway, it's all on there. So at any time you want to, you can go. It's knowinggodministries.com, and check out what he's done there. Just amazing. He's done that for several years. When Ernie died, and well, Sue died, really, the recording of the lessons, we didn't do anymore. I wish we could have caught some of those that Ernie had done. And so we're just now getting it back up, and this week we got it finally online. So let's go through and find some things that you want to share with the group. This is a time I really relish because it's wonderful to hear how God is working in your lives. So anybody have anything they want to share? What's happened? I know stuff is happening. You're just the bashful, withdrawn type. And so, no, not really. Anyone have anything that they'd like to share?
There was something that came to mind that I think it has changed through the years that we take for granted. Coming to church, we were listening to your sermon. And who would ever think that driving to church that you're hearing a sermon in your car? You know, it's amazing.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
And I was thinking, think about it. 30 years ago,
yeah. That. Absolutely. How do you get the sermon on?
It's on Facebook.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Church on Facebook. But okay. You were broadcasted worldwide.
That's a humbling thought.
Did you have to use the map to get the church?
Yeah.
It wasn't in the back seat.
Come right in.
I'm sorry to interrupt.
Yeah, come right in.
I don't know if you remember me or not. I'm Linda Pearson.
Yes, yes, yes.
I want you to know, I'm sorry, I lost my husband. We lost Bill.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
But okay. I knew you were here, so I wanted to say.
Thank you. Anybody else? Yeah, you get so self-conscious up there, you don't realize people are watching you on television and on listening on the radio. I didn't even know that was.
It's just an amazing world that we live in.
Boy, it is, really. Anybody else have anything you want to share? Yes.
Well, I came back from Bernie on 35 because the GPS said it was 30 minutes quicker and I had to be back by 4, and they'll never believe that. Because it's never quicker than 281. But anyway, so it's very congested, lots of traffic, and they drive like crazy. And I had my little grandson that's 12. And all of a sudden, I don't know, through Austin or somewhere, Waco, everybody stopped. And I wasn't ready to stop. And I slammed on my brakes, and I actually felt my car sliding. You know? And I got off onto the side road, and I didn't think I was going to be able to stop before I hit the car that had also pulled off onto the side. I stopped about 5 feet behind, and I just am so thankful and grateful that
yes.
I did not have a wreck on that hot day, and that God protected me, and my little grandson was safe, and I will yes. not ever go 35 again. Don't
yeah,
it.
It's really, really a mess. You know, it's amazing. I get in the car today and I turn into a pylon. I feel like that because everybody's going in and around, and of course I don't do that. But you do, you feel like a pylon where people are there and they just see how close they can get behind you and in front of you and so on. It's a take your life in your hands when you're driving now. Anybody else have anything they would like to share?
I'll tell you something from a few weeks ago. From a few weeks ago, one of my sons was in one of the parks over in Grand Prairie and reached toward a trash can and thought he saw something and drew back. And so he kicked the trash can and he heard a rattle in there. And it was a rattlesnake.
Ooh. She loves those kind of stories.
The Lord protected him from the rattlesnake.
Wow. Yeah. Anybody else have any horror stories? Jim?
Oh, not a horror story.
Yeah.
Yesterday, Sweetie Pie came home, and I saw her open the trunk of her car and get her flight bag out, and she was all smiles. She already has her multi-engine commercial yeah. instrument ratings, and she got the, what do they call it, flight instructor certification.
Congratulations. That's amazing. Anybody else got somebody? Yes, Charles.
Yeah, on Thursday night, I got reunited with something I hadn't seen in a long time, and that was my suitcase for my trip in Kenya. 20 days after I got here, my suitcase got here. The amazing thing was I was on Delta, and Delta still doesn't know where it's at. Somehow it arrived on Air France.
We went down, where did we go? St. Lucia? We went to St. Lucia and they lost our luggage. But they gave us a lot of money to be able to replace the thing, so I wish you'd lost it.
Delta's still going to do that.
Yeah.
Still think it's in Kenya.
Anybody else have anything they want to share? Yes.
Yesterday afternoon, I was able to watch a live stream of my granddaughter's been in Boston for about 3 weeks at a group she's doing there. She had the opportunity to go there for some theater things. And so I watched live, I guess it was the second act of a couple of parts that she was in. And so I got to watch that live from Berklee College, part of Boston College, but it's the Berklee School of Theater. So. Anyway, it was really fun and interesting to see and amazing. But when you're looking at it on your phone, you can't look at the picture and hear it at the same time because you'd have to hold the phone screen up to your ear. So I kept doing this, you know? And so I was at school at a thing there also while I was trying to watch this thing too. But it was really fun to see her do what she loves to do.
Yeah. Oh, that's a delight. That goes along with what Mike was saying. What a world we live in.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. You didn't get another hole in one, do you?
You're right.
You didn't get another hole in one, did you? My heart couldn't take it.
But yesterday we took our boat out early in the morning, and coming back home, when I pull the anchor up, and it's really a heavy anchor, I just set it on the deck. And so coming home, that thing could have fallen off of there because it was only 6 inches from the edge and could have really hurt somebody or hit a tree, and I still hadn't hooked up to the rail there. Could have just ripped the rail off, but I'm just so thankful that
yeah.
I didn't do that.
Yeah.
Like somebody was
yeah. Amazing.
Like somebody was
Thank
watching.
You. Pardon?
Like somebody was watching.
You bet. Yeah.
Okay, do we have any prayer requests? I'm going to have a word prayer for anybody have anything? Remember Carol, Roger's wife? Anybody else have
May
any?
What is her problem?
She has COVID.
Oh, okay.
He just called, he texted Diane. That she had COVID, so he's not going to be here. So I got to
remember her.
Yes. Anybody else have any prayer requests? Okay. Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, I ask you to please be with us during this hour. We come here with full intention of being able to understand more clearly who you are, and to be able to learn that we can trust you. I pray that you'll send your Holy Spirit, that you will teach us about yourself. Please guide each one here, and I pray you'll be with Carol and help them. I pray that you'll please guide with the family members of those who are here. I know we have burdens on our heart for all of them. I pray that you'll be with each one. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I didn't ask how your father is.
He's doing pretty good. I mean, I think we're probably going to a rehab next week, so get him a little stronger.
Yeah, haven't seen him here in a while, and so, yeah.
He's doing okay.
Yeah, good. Okay. Now, you're Cliff.
I'm Diane's son.
It's good to see you here. Diane, good to see you. Okay, our lesson today is the heat's turned up. I forget, what is the title of it? Extreme heat?
Extreme heat?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Have you figured out what makes it extreme? Why would they use that? What was that?
It's in Texas.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Why would they use that term? What would be the implication of it being extreme heat? And they used a couple examples. All of us would say, boy, I couldn't go through that. But why would it be extreme heat? Temptation's temptation, and yours is yours. There's no two of us in this room that have experienced life, experienced our relationship with Christ identically. No two of us. All different. And what seems to be extreme to one may be nothing to another. Why do you think they would use that term? Extreme heat. Pardon?
Who's they?
The titlers, the ones who wrote the title.
Okay. I know the media use extreme, but they're doing it for a
right.
But if I see Charles, you know, during the week, we say, man, it's hot. Later, and I said, no, this is extreme heat because, you know, of course, I don't know his views, he doesn't know my views. We really don't care. We're going to be fine. Global warming. And they want you to be thinking about that all the time.
So, right.
And I guess whoever titled this here decided to jump on the wagon with it, you know.
Maybe so. Let me tell you what went through my mind. God's character was called in question greater during those times. There are about three times that all of heaven was in a crisis. No, more than that, four times. That the unfallen angels were not at the place of rebellion, but they were at the place of not knowing. Now you would think that here they are, they're watching this whole thing go on, and the questions that they have, given the fact that they see the whole thing, what is it that they can't see that causes a crisis? It seems like God was involved in this with Job. God said, "Have you considered my friend Job?" He said, "Yeah, you've got him paid off. He's going to like you because you've given him so much. Look what he has. Look at his family. Look at his wealth. Why wouldn't he love you?" The extreme heat is because somehow God seems to be in question. Our quarterly gives two examples. Abraham and Job. I could give you another one. Extreme. It was in the book of Judges. That concubine of this Jewish nobleman, that he thought that she was so good, and she ran off, and he traveled many miles to find her and finally got her and came back. They were going to stay overnight in this town, and the nobleman said, "No, we can't stay here. We've got to stay in an Adventist town. It's safer." So they travel on and they go to this Adventist town. And as was custom, they waited around in the marketplace for someone to come and invite them home. And it was getting near sundown, and one of the residents came to them and said, "Oh, come to my house. You can't be out like this. It's dangerous." And the nobleman said, "What do you mean it's dangerous? This is an Adventist town." He said, "You don't understand." So took him in, and they just shut the door, and someone started banging on the door. Now, folks, we think that Sodom and Gomorrah and that experience is about homosexuality. So we look at these stories, and we start extrapolating from that, because those men that were banging on the door, they didn't want women, they wanted those men. And look how horrible and how awful that is. And so it's got to be about homosexuality. And the same thing happened in Sodom and Gomorrah. It had nothing to do with that. So when they knocked on the door and those residents said, "Bring those men, give us those men." And the owner of the house said, "No, you can't have them. Here, you can have a daughter." What would that feel like if you're the daughter of that man and he says, "Here, take her, do what you want with her"? And the nobleman spoke up and said, "No, don't give your daughter. Here, give my concubine." And so they take her and they have their way with her all night. Well, it seems like a horrible thing, but back it up and look at it from the perspective of eternity. That all heaven was astir because of what they were doing to that little girl. And that little girl's angel said, "Father, please let me go and rescue her." And God said, "No." It comes to 3 o'clock in the morning. "God, please let me go rescue her." And God said, "No." finally, she crawled back home, and she died with her hand on the top step. And the angel came to God and says, "Don't worry now, God. She's dead." It said that all heaven was ready to raise up in rebellion over that little girl. Why would God take such a risk? Why would he take a risk? And under the book of Judges, it takes three whole chapters on that little girl. She had no idea that heaven was watching. And God's character was called in question. That's why it's extreme heat. And there are many people that we just hear of those stories. We don't hear of everybody else's story of the heat turned up. Why do you think? You see, the angels can see everything. But yet, the unfallen angels were at the risk of rebelling over that. Take it from there. Why would that be? Why would God do such a thing? I have some ideas what I think, but I would love to hear what you think. What is God trying to get across where he put all heaven at risk? What's he trying to get across?
Could be that was that prelude.
I'm coming closer to you. Not only I like you, but I want to make sure that we get your comment because David wants to put these on the...
Well, I can't document this.
Okay.
That could be interpreted as a prelude to what was coming down the line when God allowed Jesus.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Okay.
To the cross.
And that's one of those other times when all heaven was astir and was rebelling. Go ahead.
And they were ready then.
Yes.
It was the word.
Yes.
But God said no.
Yes. They would have destroyed the entire world over that little girl.
But yet God is preparing in that example and in others, trying to prepare us for the role of the Messiah.
And do you think he's still doing the same today?
Absolutely. Trying to clarify and to...
What is he trying to clarify?
The God of love, somehow or other, love overplays and dominates the activities that we're seeing, that somehow or other we need to study the character of God as being revealed in these examples. It's hard to do.
Yeah. But Ron, I think you're getting very close to some of the ideas that I've come up with, that it of all the times in the world that have been chaotic and dangerous and horrible and so on, said there will never be a time as awful as the last days. It will be more horrible. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just telling you what's going on because I hope that I can bring you some kind of hope through this. Do you hear what Ron is saying? What do you think about that?
Yes, I hear what Ron is saying. What I garner from this, and it's an assuring example of God's love, is in his angelic host. Their hearts were touched because of what they saw, what they experienced. They wanted to intervene. Turn us loose. So they're still there today. Those are the same angelic hosts that see us.
And it's that same angelic host that saw the antediluvian world and saw God intervene. Why didn't he intervene here? Why didn't he intervene with Christ when his son was going through it? You've got to understand something about that. Anybody else? What do you think? Yes, Ron, again.
Well, the history, the outcome. What's the outcome, you know, of Christ dying on the cross?
Okay.
And then the whole apostolic movement, and look at what has happened to this world because of that.
Yeah.
We probably have to study each of those examples.
Yeah, because that's...
And see, what happens after? How is God's love manifest and accepted? And the angels see that. Or study that.
Yeah.
I think you have to connect the history to the horrors. You know, right now we're experiencing on this planet lots of different things. Say, why would we have to be having something like Ukraine going on like
this? Yes.
Cannot be explained.
Yes.
And the only thing I could say is, surely somehow, someday, somewhere, there's got to be an outcome that demonstrates God's love through all of this. We don't know what will happen 10 years from now, 5 years from now, 2 days from now.
And we can understand in some respects why he let Christ go through that, because, you know, the whole salvation of man was dependent on what he did. What about the girl? Does God not care about her? It looked like he didn't care. What do the angels not know that they learned through those experiences? And by the way, it's what you and I have to learn. What is it? Did they think that there was a certain criteria for how to go to heaven? Did the angels think that there were certain things that you had to do in order to go to heaven? What is it that those angels didn't understand that God risked every single angel in heaven to tell them no? Don't rescue that girl. And, you know, Jim, like you were saying, the horror that all of those angels that go through, because they've seen it all the way from the beginning, all the way through. They don't become desensitized to that. Your angel is not desensitized to what you're going through. What did the angels not know? Are you, yeah, Jim?
There's a parallel here between angels and us.
Mm-hmm.
When we see this kind of an experience, it gets to our hearts just like the angels.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It teaches us about trust. We've got to trust. We don't know the end from the beginning, but yet we do. We know that God is victorious.
What the angels had to learn, we have to learn. Oh, I'm sorry, Charles, I didn't see it.
Why was that one instance so dramatic? I mean, that goes on, same thing today, even today.
Yeah.
Throughout history, we've seen the atrocities. And the one that makes all the news, of course, the Holocaust and all the bad things that happened in the war, what's going on in Ukraine. But There's human trafficking, there's girls, there's kids going
through. Yeah, look, yes.
The same thing as we're sitting here in Savage School. So why was this one girl back then, why did everything in heaven
over
point
that,
to that, point to that?
Absolutely.
What's going on every day?
Absolutely. Do you venture some answer to that?
No,
yes.
I'm asking.
Is it kind of like the minister said this morning, that we need to trust God?
Absolutely.
No matter what.
Absolutely.
You know, not just have faith. We got to trust Him, and this is the way that,
yes,
that we can trust Him.
You see, what would you say the criteria is for getting to the kingdom of God? What do you have to do to be saved? And why was that a question to those angels? They didn't understand the heart of God. They didn't understand what the real issue is. Look at the whole panorama of the Bible. Look how some people seem to only need to know just a tiny bit. And God says, that's it. That's what I'm after. And yet other people seem to have to know a whole lot. Would you compare the discussion with Nicodemus? This was a leader in Israel. Did he understand what the criteria is? And we are told that there will be people in the kingdom of God that don't even know the name of Jesus. There will be a vast sea beyond which we could number of people in the kingdom of God that don't even know His name. Well, what was the criteria for them to get there? Is there no criteria? Reeve and I were talking this week about universalism. There are Adventists that are trying to figure out the Bible and all those stories. And the horrible portrait of God in the Old Testament compared to the portrait of God in the New Testament. Not thinking that it's the same God that was there, that was in the New Testament. They're trying to make harmony out of the Bible. They're trying to say God never kills and try to make excuses for all of these things, trying somehow to make sense out of it. And the only way they can make sense out of it is everybody going to be saved. Universalism. Cliff.
Yes. You said there are many people in heaven that don't even know the name of Jesus.
Yes.
It's not important whether or not they know the name of Jesus or God. It's important that God knows their name.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So
that's got to be part of this.
No, there's got to be a lot of it.
Yeah.
Like you go up to somebody's house and you knock on the door and you said, I want to come in and see Gerald. They go and say, Gerald, Rob's here. And Gerald said, I don't know who Rob is.
Yeah.
But they go in and say, Rob's here, and Gerald knows Rob.
Yeah.
Just let him on in. So how is it that you are known by God?
And
he didn't know you.
And what is that? Yes.
In answer to what Charles was saying, it does seem like that story was emphasized about that little girl, and I agree, all this stuff has gone on, and why was that story so special? Is it possible that God highlighted that story to show us that all of our stories are that important to Him?
Wow.
Are highlighted. He just doesn't tell everybody's story, and in the Bible, but we all have stories and we all have suffering. And are the angels trying to intervene for us? Would they like to stop the car accidents? Would they like to heal the cancer? But God's saying, no, stop, wait.
Yeah. And were the angels feeling the same way over Job as they were thinking over that little girl? So what you're saying is that God is just as concerned toward every little girl, everyone that's suffering, but there's something about that little girl that God was trying to teach the angels that they didn't learn until the cross. They had to live with that misunderstanding. Those perfect beings. And God didn't say a word. Why didn't God intervene and say, now look, this is what I was trying to do? Why didn't he speak up? Many times I've asked the question, why didn't God, you know, after it happened and the lesson was learned, why didn't God come in and say, now look, this is what I'm doing here? What is that a testimony to? That too is vital. Why does he let us wrestle with these issues? Yes, Sandra.
Well, he's willing to be misunderstood, which is amazing.
Now, say that again. Did you hear her?
Yes.
Say it again.
He's willing to be misunderstood. You know, we always want to, I'm right, and this is the reason I'm right. Also, it's so much more meaningful if we learn something from, instead of somebody saying to us,
yes,
this is why I did it.
Mm-hmm.
If we learn that ourselves, it's so much more meaningful to us.
So, yes, and I made the statement, no two of us are the same. No two of us have the same relationship with God at all. There are just certain things that we experience that are the same, but I've never been in your shoes. I don't know what it's like to go through what you're going through. And so, but here's the thing that it shows me. One of the things that it shows me is God said, I made you in my image. I gave you a brain like I have. Do you know, one neurologist said, with his knowledge of the brain, he said, if our brain goes on taking in all the information at the rate that it is, let me tell you, they now know how much information is coming in at what rate. They now know that at any second, 40,000 bits of information is going into your conscious mind every second. 40,000. I don't think you could find her that many bits in this room. You know, this is a bit, that's a bit, that's a bit, all of these things. But then it really blows your mind when you find out the same second, 40 million bits are going into your subconscious every second. And this neurologist said, you can never fill the brain up if you spend all eternity. The capacity of the brain is beyond anything we can imagine. But God gave us a mind. God will never insult us. He gave us an ability to reason. And God gives us the opportunity to use that. He's not going to solve all these things. We have to understand. That's a compliment from God to you. Your brain, your ability to reason. God's not going to solve them. Have you been able to solve why that little girl? Have you been able to solve what is it that the angels are struggling with that's exactly the same thing we're struggling with? But the angels have now settled that. They now know. Calvary explained it. Well, what is it that we're missing in Calvary that would settle it for us? Critical. Take a guess. Jim.
I want to back up just a little bit.
Okay.
When we read what Jesus said, I will never forsake you.
Never leave you, never forsake you. Okay.
Now, I can't imagine that that girl was left. I think she still had faith and belief. It's a horrendous experience, but yet, I think I've got to say, even the most terrible things that could happen in my life, I have faith that He is faithful, never abandoned. But I would feel abandoned.
Listen, if we serve a God that says, I am pained every time a sparrow hits the ground.
He was there.
Yes, absolutely. It pains me to even see my little birds, and it's funny, not funny, it's amusing to see that God says, did you know I have sparrows that make their nest in my throne room? Sparrows will come in and make their nest. Yes.
I think we need to keep it simple. Come back to the concept, let's keep it simple. And I think we can take courage from understanding what you're saying about the angels of heaven have watched through history up until the cross and even now, watch the terrible things that have gone on.
Yes.
And cannot understand God allowing this to happen. So if they wrestled and struggled and with the various issues that we talk about, if they had trouble figuring out, I don't feel so bad.
Yeah, they're perfect. Yes.
Myself being so discouraged and so downhearted and so disappointed and so I feel so naive and I can't figure out all the doctrines and the disciplines and the teachings. We wrestle with all of those concepts so often and get nowhere.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really, the bottom line, you come back. So I'm going to take courage in the fact that I can't explain all of those atrocities.
Yes, yes.
I can't really understand that. I try to. But I come back, my hero might be the thief on the cross.
Yes.
I think he probably had some exposure to Jesus on the streets a little bit enough to just see. But it was that very instant, right there and then, trust and love.
Absolutely.
Asking for Jesus to save him.
Yeah. And do you think suffering stopped for him the moment he said, you will be with me in the kingdom? Do you think anything stopped? He still had his hands nailed, still had his feet nailed, still was going through the whole thing. And what about Stephen? Do you think he felt every rock hitting him? In Stephen's case, Mrs. White said that he fell asleep. Do you imagine that happened to that little girl?
Well, she was a precursor, an example of Christ.
That's exactly right. She was.
But he was abandoned.
Yeah. You see, that girl was a precursor for Christ because God had to let the angels go through that experience with Jesus. God had to say, no, you cannot go and rescue the Lord. They had to be prepared. That was one of the things. Let me tell you what I've taken from it. What is the criteria for being saved? Cliff said, at least part of it is you have to be known by God. What is the criteria? Is the criteria the same for that little native that saw a reflection of God in the leaf of a tree? Is it same criteria for me? I can remember a sermon that I gave at Arlington. It wasn't the first one I gave. It's somewhere along there, and one of the members said, 30 years afterwards, he says, I could give that sermon almost word for word, John Perryman. And the title of the sermon was, There is Truth, and There is Truth That Matters. What is God trying to get us to understand? What is God trying to ask us to use our reasoning to be able to understand? They had to recognize the one and only criteria for getting to the kingdom of God is trust. It's trust. Well, what did they have to trust with that little girl? God has his reasons. And we are told that when we get to the kingdom of God, you will have a chance to sit down with Jesus and go over your life. And Mrs. White talks about we're viewing our life and we see this golden thread that comes throughout our entire life. And we find where that thread leads. And when we're sitting in the kingdom of God and looking at that thread, we are told that we would never have anything different. What you deem to be a mistake, what you deem to be luck, I'm not saying that's what you thought that traffic thing was. I believe you believe God helped you to stop. That we will never change a thing. We will see that golden thread woven throughout our entire life. And we wouldn't ask to have anything different. Now, think back on your life. Is there anything you wished you hadn't gone through? Anything you hadn't done? Is God aware of your pain? Was God aware of Stephen's pain? Those rocks being hurled at him. In that case, we're told that God put him to sleep. I don't know about that girl. I don't know why just that little girl. But if there's any question in your mind about if God feels your pain, look at the next little bird that smacks on your windshield or you see at the side of the road that did not fall without your father's notice. and there are things that are going on in my life I do not understand. But I have learned to trust him. I sure don't want to go around creating pain for myself. And there are a lot of things, a lot of pain I've done or I've experienced that I was the primary moving factor on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know I caused myself a lot of pain, but even that, sitting in eternity and looking at the beginning from the end, I would not have one thing differently. Yes.
It's true, I wouldn't have God do anything different. That doesn't mean I wouldn't wish that I had done things differently, because he could have done more and better with me.
Okay.
I think there's a much more interesting line of thought about what that owner of that girl's life was like. She'd already run away from him once. I don't think she had a whole lot to look forward to.
He revealed himself and revealed his attitude, didn't he? Got up in the morning and said, well, where's my concubine?
There's a lot more to do.
He goes out and sees her on the steps and says, get up, let's go.
Chop her up and
yeah.
Everybody else.
Yeah.
I mean, that's
as hard
brutality to it that goes beyond what happened to her.
As hard as those people were, that was the only thing that would get their attention. There was a revival in Israel because of that little girl. All Israel.
Think of Paul. Go back to the stoning of Stephen.
Yes.
Paul himself was right there, watched it all. And look what his life did.
Yeah.
Look how he turned.
Yes.
Fabulous.
Yeah. And did Job ever understand this panorama of what was going on? He didn't. He had no idea. Do you think he had some questions in mind? He said, I wish that God would come down here and sit right there and I'll talk to him. Did he get all of his questions answered? God didn't sit down and explain one thing to him. Well, it's going to take a whole lot of trust to go through what that was. Because the lesson is trying to emphasize that somehow these were more extreme examples of trials than anybody else. That's hogwash. But I took it that the reason they titled it that was because God was implicated. God's care, God's compassion was implicated. It's almost as if he didn't give a flip. Do you feel that way about yourself, your life? This life is for us to be able to learn how to trust. That when God, and be able to accept when God does not offer an explanation, to be able to say, I trust him. Now you see, I mentioned this earlier, and I'm going to go ahead and put an addendum on it, that the Bible describes the times ahead just before Christ comes as the worst time on the face of the earth. Well, what will the condition of the people who are his followers, what is the condition they will be in? Why is that even allowed to happen? God is holding back the winds now. It's when he let the winds go that the devil is able to do anything he desires to do. But tell me, what is the condition of the people that God finally lets the let the winds blow?
They learned to trust him.
There's no question about anybody's salvation at that time. It's all over. We don't know that. But it's all settled. And he said, not one bit of it will come nigh thy dwelling. Yes?
We have to trust little things.
Yes.
But most of all, we have to trust in extreme things.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Yes.
What Ron said, that just to add to that, is keep things simple. And a thought came when you mentioned trust, that just go back to, I remember as a child learning the song, Trust and Obey. And trust and obey, there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
Mm-hmm.
So everything ends up, in my mind, always turns into a song. And that's just how I'm made. And so it's very simple. But I can't deal with everyday horrors that we hear about.
Yes.
And still be happy and survive this
yes.
world without realizing that.
Yeah.
That is it, trust.
Yeah. You know, and you look through the Bible and you see all kinds of examples. God's trying to teach us of what he will do. What about Elijah? Look how bold he was on that mountain. Yet that one woman got mad at him and he ran for, what, 40 days? Hid in a cave. And God said, what are you doing here?
By the way, the trust and obey. It starts off when we walk with the Lord.
Yes. Yeah.
And, you know, it sets it up for, that's how we learn to trust.
Yeah. What kind of trust did Elijah have to have when he was hiding in seclusion and it says the ravens fed him? What are ravens?
Crows.
They're vultures. What kind of trust did Elijah have to have? This stuff, these birds are feeding me. Well, finally, I didn't realize it. The name for raven and the word for Arab travelers is exactly the same word. He hid them in a place where these travelers would go through, and that's how Elijah was fed. Not with birds, it were vultures. That just blew me away. I had no idea. But what kind of faith would I have to go through your life, to go through your life? I couldn't do what you're going through. I find that I can only do what I'm going through. And God will give me the strength. God will give me the ability. God will give me the insight that will help me to get through. We've got 2 minutes. I gave you that. I've given that whole time, and I've only given you 2 minutes to explain. No.
Love. Where does love come in? Because the Bible says that if I have not love, I have not nothing. If I'm burned, nothing, you know. So I see two things that are very important to God. One is, like you said, about our faith. Without faith, we can't please him.
Yes.
But the other one is love.
Mm-hmm. And so do you have an answer for that? Or?
No, I'm thinking it's very important.
Yeah, I think it's critical. How do we learn to love him?
By
yeah. How did we learn to trust him? We saw the widow of that her all the grain was gone, and Elijah came by there and said, "Make me a cake." She said, "All I have is just this amount. It's just enough for one." He says, "Make it for me." She made it. And what did God do? She never ran out of flour. She never ran out of oil. Does God care about you? Take all the stories of the Bible. God is trying to pound home a lesson. I know you. I feel what you're going through. Please trust me. And when we see these evidences of trust of what God has done, we say, "Father, even though I do not understand fully what I'm going through, I have learned that I can trust you." Yes, John.
I like that statement that says, "All his biddings are enablings."
Yes. And she also says, "The best effort that any man gives in obedience to Christ, their best effort is seen as in the light that they're doing just what Jesus would have done." So it doesn't matter if you're a Aborigine that doesn't even know the name of Christ. It doesn't matter. When they see something that says there's got to be a power greater than this, God takes that as that man's effort and makes up for all the difference. God takes your failing. You follow him, but you don't like it. You follow him, but you fail. God takes your best effort, and he makes up for all the lack, and he sees you as if he's looking at his son. That's your Father. Heavenly Father, what a lesson this is, that you're teaching us that the criteria for being saved is not trying to be more religious, doing spiritual push-ups and trying to demonstrate to others what our faith is. The criteria is that we've looked at the evidence and we've come to the conclusion that we are precious in your sight and that you will get us to the kingdom, even though we may have doubts, fears. Our best efforts are taken by you, and you make up the difference. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I won't see you for 2 weeks. Jim's going to have one, and Roger's going to have one. I think
he'll be next week.
Roger will? Yes. Roger will be next week, then Jim will be. I've got to go take duties of grandchildren. Have a wonderful Sabbath. This is done. I gotta push this out of the way or something. I'm Just put your hand, shut the whole phone off. Push on one there and push on a volume button. Hold it down.
I'm going to turn it.
Yeah, hold both of them down. Just keep holding them. Are you holding that one? Yeah, now. Okay.